J6, number 13A.
We see then at that sixth point of truth that that truth which is God is our truth. And therefore in the first day of creation, we could see then that man was created in the image and likeness of God, that compound idea man, where man is that full reflection of God, that holistic concept of man, that maintains that ideal standard, that ideal standard constitutes the consciousness of man, and therefore that gives us dominion. We have dominion in the realm of truth. That the total opposite of the sixth point of the second record of creation, where that whole duality, that false sense of going out from good and evil, of accepting the calculus of mortality, then that constitutes mortal consciousness. Where the standard is the calculus of mortality, the calculus of duality, then that constitutes what we call mortal consciousness. And that doesn't bring dominion, it brings slavery. It doesn't bring health, because the ideal standard within consciousness brings health, wholeness to consciousness, whereas the mortal calculus brings, it shows their slavery to that mortal calculus instead of dominion. The condemnation of Adam to till the ground. Then at that seventh point in the first record of creation, where we see then that the love which is God is our love, therefore, that whole point where consciousness goes out and rests in the perfect fulfillment, where man's spiritual consciousness, that have based on that ideal standard, enters the realm of love, the realm of perfection, the realm of fulfillment, whereas the result in the second record of creation is the total opposite at the seventh point, where mortal man is sent out from the presence of fulfillment and perfection and enters the land of Nod, the land of restlessness, always restless, always wandering, never makes it a sense of fulfillment. Now, when we look at these two records of creation, Mrs. Eddy compares them, and we can go to the textbook and see just how she compares these two. And I'll just read what she says about them in Genesis chapter. She says, the science and truth of the divine record, that's the first record, has been presented. And now the opposite error, a material view of creation, is to be set forth. The second record. So she shows that the first record is the science and truth, it's the divine record. Whereas the second record is the opposite of that, called error, or a material view of creation. We certainly can see that. She says that the first record of creation proves the falsity of the second. She says, if one is true, then the other is false, for they are antagonistic. Or she'll say, the second chapter of Genesis contains a statement of this material view of God in the universe, a statement which is the exact opposite of the scientific truth as before recorded. So she says it is an exact opposite. We certainly have seen that. Then she says, although presenting the exact opposite of truth, the lie claims to be true. So you can see here that this is the exact opposite of true, the truth, which is a lie. I mean, the opposite of truth is a lie. And then she says, but this lie claims to be true. And you can see that this is true in, you can see that that's where the world is being taken out of, that belief in a material universe. Already they can see that that material universe as such is not a true universe. I don't know if they go so far as to call it a lie, as Mrs. Eddy does here, but they already begin to see that a material universe as such doesn't exist, that it's just a mental concept objectified, a mental construction. Whereas Mrs. Eddy shows that this exact opposite of truth is a lie claiming to be true. She says here, and this is what Ellen was asking about. She says, the purpose of the second, we were asking, what is the purpose of the second record of creation? She says, the purpose of the second account in Genesis is to depict the falsity of error and the effect of error. So she's saying the reason for that second record of creation is to show you the falsity of error, how untrue that record is, and the effects of error. And then she says, and it's to show us never to believe a lie. So she's saying the first record is the only record that is ever written about us. That is true. Man really is what the first record of creation says. But the second record of creation is just a mist. It's mystification. It's an illusion. It's a false claim. It's a claim, a lie claiming to be true. So she says the value of it is that the first record is true, the second is false, and so by having the second record of creation, you find out what the falsity of error is. You find out how the true is true and the false is false, and what the effect is if you go out from a false belief. We certainly know now, if we go out from duality, if we go out from a consciousness of good and evil, and if we make good real and evil real, then we know the effect of such a consciousness. And that, she says, we've learned what happens when we go out from duality. And she said, that's a value. That's positive. We have learned never to believe a lie anymore. You know, once one has gone through this experience of good and evil, and to see that thinking in the negatively, thinking evil, seeing the world from the standpoint of negative thinking, always negative. You know, the people who go out and complain about this and complain about that. If there's a glass to one person, you know the illustration, one will say it's half empty and the other will say it's half full. Well, she's saying to those who always see the universe from the negative standpoint, from the evil standpoint, and reason from good and evil and take that as the premise of their calculation, that we find the cause of error and the effect of error, and we have seen the effect of that. We see it brings demoralization. We see it brings downfall. We see it brings sickness. And that's a value. So when Ellen says, why study the second record of creation, we can see that the effect of negative thinking leads to destruction and death and sickness, and it's a value never to do it, isn't it? Haven't we learned never to believe a lie now? Haven't we learned never to reason that way? Haven't we learned that the best way is to think positively along spiritual values, and that brings out the spiritual universe? And that to think negatively along evil values brings out the opposite of that universe? And haven't we learned, as Mrs. Eddy said, that Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, where sinning mortal man appears to mortals, and that this correct view of man heals the sick? So that's a value to what we have learned. It has been a positive experience. We make the second record of creation a negative experience. It is all God going on. By having gone through this experience and coming out of the experience, we have learned never to believe a lie, never to think negatively, never to focus on negative evil values. Don't argue with error. Turn away from it and turn to God and stay with it. It's like she says, walk according to the model that you want to bring out in your life. Look towards the perfect values, and if you look towards the perfect values, you'll bring those perfect values out in your life. you'll behold the perfect man, and that will bring that perfect experience into consciousness. So she says here, at this point, it's just a question of perception, and now you've learned to stick to the truth. I don't know. I know for myself, having gone through this experience and in the experience of a universe that knows good and evil, I certainly don't want to think evil because I see what it does. I don't want to think isolation. I don't want to think jealousy. I don't want to think competition. I can see the effect of it. It is no good, isn't it? It brings sickness to the system. So we think positively. We have learned a value from it. It's been an experience. The next thing, and just before we go to a meal, is that also it shows here that the second record of creation is not a real value. It's an illusion. It doesn't work within the system. The second record of creation is like a 2 plus 2 equals 5. Thinking in the terms of good and evil breaks down within the system because, you see, the system didn't work, did it? We don't have that reasoning in a two-valued logic reached fulfillment, do we? We have reasoning in a two-valued logic was excommunicated from the system. So we see that if we reason in a two-valued logic, that self-operating principle removes that way of thinking and leaves only the right method of thinking. So the second record of creation proves the truth of the first because it shows it doesn't work. It's excommunicated from the presence of the Lord. And all these generations that come after Adam, they all end up, all that multiplication and begatting that goes on in the Bible finally ends up with Joseph being buried in a tomb in a coffin in Egypt. It all died off. It didn't work. The record is not a success. The only success is the first record. So the first 2 plus 2 equals 4 does not allow 2 plus 2 equals 5 to last within the principle. So the first record of creation, the true, does not allow the false record to last. It will only be eventually the first record of creation. An error cannot last. False reasoning cannot last. So that's a value. We've learned something from the second record of creation, haven't we? And that's... It's in Genesis, her chapter Genesis in the textbook. Now this evening, before you retire, I want to give out to you this paper on Christian Science versus Mythology. And just look it over, because what we see here with the second record of creation is then that we have as a false constituents of reality. Instead of mind, we have mortal mind. Instead of spirit, we have matter. Instead of soul, we have body. Instead of, well, let me perhaps show it on a transparency, that you have totally different constituents are achieved from the first record and second record. From the first record, we have mind as a constituent of reality versus mortal mind. From the first record, we have spirit versus matter of the second record. From the first record, we have soul versus body from the second record. From the first record, we have principle versus personality from the second record. From the first record, we have life versus death of the second. From the first record, we have truth versus mortal consciousness. From the first record, we have love versus fear. Now what Mrs. Eddy shows in this paper that I'm giving out of Christian Science versus Mythology is that that whole belief system of mortal mind, matter, body, personality, death, mortal consciousness, and fear, that all constitutes mythology. That's what myth is based on. And that whole system of reference of mortal mind, matter, body, personal beliefs, that is mythology. And on that mythology is built a false science, a false theology, and a false medicine based on that and those myths. And they're just myths. And that what she's presenting to us is a true science a true theology, and a true medicine based on the constituents of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. All right, so we go on then from yesterday and just carry on with the subject. We see then from the paper that I gave out last evening on Christian Science versus Mythology, when you read over that, how powerful Mrs. Eddy really is in being a transparency towards the Christ to allow the explanation of that second record of creation to come in so clearly. We see originally that the Christ idea takes us from a physical explanation of reality into a mental, into a spiritual. And as I mentioned earlier, the biggest point in Christian Science is at least to begin to see that all is mental. Then we see that the mental can be good and evil. Then that, because of the hell let loose, because of the evil within the mental realm, that sends one skyrocketing towards the spiritual realm. And therefore, that all is capital mind in its infinite manifestation, and that is operating for the maximum of good, is God in its idea. Now, as I mentioned, Kapler is putting out a new booklet this summer called The Ordered Approach to the One Being, which will be this subject of the step from metaphysics to science, or the step from the mental into the realm of the divine mind. Now, one has to begin to feel natural and comfortable in tonality, then, that it is not a physical universe per se. And again, something within us, as it does against an anthropomorphic concept of God, reacts and rears up and says, well, what do you mean? Isn't this really matter? It's solid stuff. This is matter. Well, it's a question of perception. It's a question of definition. And as the physical scientists today, so to speak, who are on the cutting edge of physics, do not believe any longer that it is a material universe per se. As we saw that Lincoln Barnett in his book, The Universe of Dr. Einstein, which Einstein looked over and acknowledged as fine, back in 47, when so many revolutions were going on within science, said that the philosophers and scientists are arriving at the startling conclusion that the whole objective universe, that universe that you see out there of matter and energy, atoms in the stars, does not exist, but doesn't leave it there, except as a construction of the consciousness. Therefore, what we call a material universe is just a construction of mind. It's a belief that it's matter. But as they go on, they see that it is only a belief objectified. What we call material universe is just the belief that we feel it's material universe objectified. So we see what we believe, and we believe what we see. That stays within the realm of mortal mind objectifying itself as a matter universe, and then sense testimony, the five physical senses testifying to what mortal mind believes. It stays within that cycle we've been lifted out of that through the truth, as Jesus said, "And the truth shall make you free." So what Mrs. Eddy presented is even a higher standpoint, than just the mentalists of today. And I would say that a lot of the leading physical scientists have become mental scientists in explaining the universe from the basis of mind. As you saw, and I mentioned Willis Harmon just as one, from the Institute of Noetic Sciences, many more today are defining universe according to a mental basis. They call that spiritual. But we can see that beyond that, there is what Mrs. Eddy said, that all is mind and its idea, and you must fight it out on this line. So if we are to call ourselves Christian scientists, and that's something which, whether we want to or not, is up to us, But as I said, that the platform from which I give the classes, the basis of Christian Science, that can be accepted or rejected according to one's individual preference. Again, nobody's here presenting something that we have to accept. It's just presenting the basis, the doctrines of Christian Science. So what Mrs. Eddy showed was that in her scientific statement of being, that there is no life in the matter concept, there's no truth in the matter concept, there's no intelligence in the matter concept, and there's no substance in the matter concept. She skips the mental realm completely, where most of the scientists stop today, and goes right to the spiritual realm and says, all is infinite mind with a capital M, and it's infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Therefore, she says that spirit is the truth and matter is not true. And because man is the image and likeness of God, man is the image and likeness of spirit, therefore man is spiritual, he is not material. And that's the scientific basis of, from which Christian Science goes out. Now we also saw then that that's the basis of the first record of creation, that man is spiritual, he is not material. He is the image and likeness of God, the pure reflection of God. He is idea. He is not matter. Now, that doesn't take away our identity. It just redefines substance. It doesn't. See, most people are always afraid that we're going to lose something when one gets into the spiritual. Oh, my goodness, my identity is suddenly going to go poof when we say it's not matter. It doesn't do anything with identity. It leaves identity as it is. We see everybody. It doesn't, because that's the idea of mind, spirit, and soul. Mind says that mind creates its ideas. Spirit says that those ideas constitute the substance of the universe, and soul says that our identity is a mind idea identity. That identity is very substantial. It's just as we showed before with this projector. If we call the projector the mind and the image on the screen idea, well, if we look at the image, it's very real. It's there. It's substantial. It exists. It doesn't go away by saying it is idea rather than matter. It does. She says you never lose your identity. In fact, you gain the right explanation of it. But you can see the fear in mortal mind when we switch definitions on it and say, well, that's not matter. It always has been idea. It has always has been image. Now, therefore, that image remains, because mind is infinite, eternal. And because mind cannot be destroyed because it's God, therefore, that image will never be destroyed. It can never go away. The only way that man can be destroyed as the image and likeness of God is to destroy God. The only way. Now, with the Cartesian metaphysical dualism that believes that there's a line of demarcation between mind and its objectified universe called matter, then in that belief realm, man can be destroyed and killed. And it is, because it's the belief that matter can be destroyed. So man can be destroyed, so to speak, in that belief realm. But in the spiritual realm, man cannot be destroyed. He's indestructible. He's eternal. His life goes on, because you cannot destroy God. So actually, we gain eternal life. And that's the point of the first record of creation, that shows if we take the redefinition of our identity as being mind, spirit, and soul, we gain everything. We gain eternal life. Jesus said, follow me and you shall have life. If you know me and the Father, you get life. Always true knowing that one's identity is mind, spirit, and soul brings the experience of life, truth, and love. That's the first record of creation. The first day, second day, third day of mind, spirit, and soul. That governing principle, the fourth day, shows that what we get as the fifth day is life eternal, the exaltation of life above the mortal concept, which brings truth, our ideal healthy form as idea man, the compound idea man, which is perfect love. That is where we will are never born, never dying. That's in that eternal cycle of life that Jesus showed us. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to Lazarus, "You're only suffering under the second record of creation, or the belief of a material universe, that your mind in a matter body." That's that second record of creation. That's the definition of our identity. That we are a mortal mind objectifying itself as matter, and that we are in a matter body, subjects to the laws of entropy, which then die. It's only in that belief realm there is death. That's why Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead and follow me." That those who are caught within that realm of belief, that belief dies out. It has to die out. It's not the fact. It's like, as I've said now many times, 2 + 2 = 5 has to die out within the principle of mathematics. It's not true. It dies, it goes away. But 2 + 2 = 4 stays on eternally in the realm of mathematics. So with the right concept, the right calculation of man lives eternally. The false calculation dies away. When man seems to pass on to our sense, he doesn't die. There is no death, as the Bible says. But what dies is the false concept falls away from him. The false belief that he was life in and of matter. And gains a sense that he has eternal life, that life is in and of spirit God. That the body didn't kill him. It was just a false belief. That is spiritual teaching. So the world begins to see that we aren't a matter body. We're more a mental concept. And now it begins, and we'll ask eventually, get out of that mental realm into the spiritual. So as you see, Mrs. Eddy defines the second record of creation as mythology. It's just a belief. And that's where she said Christian Science versus mythology. So if we see in Science and Health, and we'll just read a few points from the paper that I gave out, that what we will see then is this mortal mind, matter, body, personal sense theories, death, mortal consciousness, and fear, this mythological concept, as I mentioned last evening, forms the basis then of physical science, false science, as she said. It forms the basis of false theology, false medicine, because the physical material sciences turn to the second record of creation as the basis of explanation. The false theology turns to the mythological concept as a basis. It says man is spiritual and material. And theology heals only man as a sinner, but doesn't handle man as material. He sends it to a doctor, as we will see in that sixth chapter. And then medicine bases itself on this mythological system of mind in a matter body. So she's saying, I'm going to give you a true science. I'm going to give you a true theology. And I'm going to give you a true medicine on the basis of the first record of creation. And you see, she puts science, theology, and medicine on a radically new foundation. Now, in defining the second record of creation as mythology, it says, what is the origin of mythology? On page 294, she says, the lines of demarcation between immortal man representing spirit and mortal man representing the air, that life and intelligence are in matter, shows the pleasures and pains of matter to be myths, and the human belief in them to be the father of mythology, in which matter is represented as divided into intelligent gods.